Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, when we come to the house of God as a family like this, we are not coming to a building. We're not coming to men. We are coming as a family of God to experience the love of our Father, to hear from the Lord, and empowered by His Spirit. If we leave anywhere we come to seek and to worship the Lord, and we don't have a personal encounter, somehow it means maybe our focus is distracted. Because the Lord wants to encounter you this morning and at all times. When we come to our evening prayer or anywhere we go to pray, I always pray, God, that I don't want to leave that place the way I came. It might not be the wind, it might not be an earthquake, it might not be, but I leave there what somebody prayed or what somebody said or what somebody didn't say. Somehow, there's something I leave there processing because of being there that is beneficial to my spiritual growth. So God doesn't have to encounter you with a wind or a storm or an earthquake, but that still small voice, that impression, that image, something just about Him, when you leave this place, stays in your heart through the week. I can take you to a new level of relationship with Him. Amen? Amen. And because of tradition, we've been accustomed to see worship as the people standing here or the people playing here. I think God is trying to shift our focus. Our worship is only to come from the people. Yes. Amen. Yes. Revelation 5 says they gathered and they were from every nation, every tribe, and they lifted their lamp to worship the Lamb, their voices to worship the Lamb. If worship is limited to the people here, we can always do that at home. Amen. The power of corporate worship moves heaven. Amen. So these people are just to help us stay on the same track, but we are to really lift our voices. Amen. God is wanting to help us shift our mind from a program oriented or from a performance oriented to a congregation focused on moving with what God is doing. Amen? We are getting so comfortable with thinking that sitting there does not mean we are participants of what God is doing as God trains us together. Amen? Because every one of us here, you are ministers of the gospel. When you live here, maybe at your workplace, maybe at your business, maybe at your school, maybe just wherever you are, you have a congregation waiting for you during the week. Amen? Amen? At the soccer ball, at the baseball, those people don't know what you know. So your life becomes the platform for the message. Amen? Amen. So we all are learning together, but we are all ministers. Amen? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. So I really thank God for this transition, for what God is doing, and I thank God for this worship team. Amen. Let's continue to press in together. God is faithful. Amen. 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 I was praying this morning, praying through the week. All we do is pray. Amen. Because we believe that Jesus says, let your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven through prayer. And I shared last week, as we see a lot of things shifting in the nation, moving in the nation. You must realize it's not about the nation. It's not about the nations. It's about God preparing us for what He's spoken that we should be prepared for in the last days. Yes. Amen? We should be prepared for what God is doing, what God is saying, and what we're seeing. Amen. You know, last week, I asked a question about what we shared last 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks was on focus. Amen. And I know some people that are here did not know what we talked about. But maybe some of you might help to refresh their mind. So focus, is there one person that can just tell me last week, what did you learn from focus? Just one person. Last 2 weeks, focus. What will you remember you learned from focus? Amen? Don't look at your phone. Don't look at your... Amen. Success. Focus, okay? Focus gets you, helps you to achieve success. Amen. Okay. Last week was on distraction. Anybody will help us remember what some of the things about distractions? What did you learn last week? Amen. Doctor, look around and see if we need to do a test. You know why I'm asking you this question? Because Paul said the church in Berea were very wise. When they go home, they study what was shared, you know, to see if it's true. Not only that, I begin to realize that we live in a generation that we are information overloaded. And information doesn't change us. Information empowers us for change. But what changes us is the application of what we believe through that information. And we cannot apply anything that is not digested in our heart. Amen? If you go to a restaurant, you see all those big buffets they give to us and all those big plates that we eat? That's not what gives us vitamins. It's when we chew it. We eat it, we destroy the bones and we eat everything there. It's all inside of us. Then the body begins to process it. And it's in that process that the health we have today come out of those vitamins. The vitamin you get from this big plate of food might just be just this much because of process. And that's what makes us healthy. That's what works. You see, David said this in Psalms chapter 1, that he that meditates on the word of the Lord. Amen. He will be like a tree planted. He's like a tree planted. Amen. And he talks about the fruit that comes from that. Then God also shared to Joshua about the power of success, overcoming, how to overcome obstacles, discouragement. He says you have to meditate on the word of God. The word meditate is the same word for chew. To choose something, to digest something, to really digest it. Because without it, the Bible says when a seed is sown, the moment you get out this door, every kind of distraction comes. And the buds come and take the words away. See, some of us, we get the word to a reasonable extent, but trials and things, then other things, families and things, so that by the time you come the next week, like I'm asking now, what was 2 weeks ago? Focus. What was last week? Distraction. Amen? Amen. 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 Next week I will ask you about today. Amen. 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 Let me tell you, there's something about the power of meditating on the word of God. If we don't meditate on this word now, the devil has won. Let me tell you why. The thing the devil fears most is the word of God. Because it's the truth. So the power of Satan is to create distraction. And distraction, if he can distract you from the truth, then he can deceive. Because this is the only GPS we have that carries us when the Holy Spirit is speaking. If you don't meditate on the word, if you hear God speaking, the Holy Spirit speaking, how do you know it's the Holy Spirit if it's not the word? Amen? So, our generation is loaded with distraction. Amen? But also, God wants us to take advantage of everything to work for our good. Amen? Even the technology. Amen? So I pray that we will be those, when we leave this place, find some time during the week and reflect, meditate on what you heard. Meditate on what God spoke to you. You know, that you've taken note of in your heart or in your mind, so that when you're going through any kind of situation, those things will come to serve that purpose in our lives. Amen? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. And last week, the Lord was reminding us that one of the things that remind us of our spiritual maturity, or how much we've been receiving, what we've been receiving through the month and through the year. Do you know, mommy, you know what it means to come to church on Sundays? You do Bible studies during the week. If you put all those time together on just one, in 1 month, you have received a lot. And the only thing that comes to really test you is not these questions that I just asked. The thing that really tests us, how many of us remember what that is? What are the things that come to test us when we receive the word of the Lord to know how much we've really received? How many of us remember what I said? Come on, test us. Very good. Trials. I'm not going to ask you, did you receive the word? How did you receive last week? Were you spending time with God? Are you, you know, how was your prayer life? How, all those things, you know, it's not for us to test. But the thing that comes to test us is out there. It's children. It's family. It's husband. It's wife. It's people at work. It's how do we manifest what is being put in us. Those are the trials that question us about the word of God in our lives. Amen? Amen. When the devil came to test Jesus, Jesus always replies, it is written. It is written. It is written. And he passed the test and the devil ran away. Problems will run away in your life. Amen? Amen. When you stand and resist through the word. Amen. Amen. Finally, every one of us, we know when we go to school, like when I was in college, people like me, I wasn't serious. What I mean by that, when others are studying and meditating and really spending time breaking down books and stuff, I'm just playing. When the test comes, I'm looking for shortcuts. Amen? So I wasn't an A student. Amen? But if there were no tests, people like me can get away easily. If we don't get tested in school, you won't go to the next, you won't know that you're going to the next grade, the next grade, the next grade, and the next grade. And at least you know where you are. Amen? So that's the reason why test is important. Amen? And the book of James talks about it. So this morning, I want to share with you about one of the most powerful, powerful manifestations. One of the most powerful fruits, one of the most powerful blessings that comes from trials. Amen. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spirits. But one of the things that God uses, not only to bless us, But to defeat the devil in every battle is what I'm going to share with you. There are different things God gives to us to win every battle and to always have breakthrough. But this one is a major one. So I pray this morning that you receive this, and God will use this to help each and every one of us as we face the challenges of life to go from glory to glory. Amen. Amen. We face practical challenges in our lives, and what I want to share with you is practical solution. Amen. 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 So let's open our Bibles together to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hallelujah. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. I'll read from Hebrews 2:6-12. Hebrews 6:12. It says, let us not be sluggish or slothful, but be imitators, followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I was praying and the Lord started taking my mind back to a lot of things. And I looked back and I saw different trials that some of them, if I remember correctly, I thought that would be the end of the road for me. I mean, not one, not two, not three, not four. I looked back and I said, and I'm here. I want to speak to you this morning about patience. The power of patience. God has given all of us a promise. This world is full of promises. And every one of those promises, God already said is yes and is amen. Amen. Yes. And what? Amen. Amen. All of God's promises, we have inherited them as born-again children. Amen? Amen? Every promise. And so it's saying that God is giving us promises that we manifest through faith and patience. In other words, we believe it, but then we have to show that we believe it until we see the results of what we're believing. And that's time. The time between when God speaks to you here, God reveals something to you here, and God tells you, I'm going to do something, to when you see it, is a distance. And that distance is where our trials come. It's where we are tested. Amen? From here to here is where the fight is. We believe, God says he will do this for me, God says he will do that for me. We believe, and the result is healed. The result is freedom. The result is deliverance. The result is finances. Whatever the Lord is saying at that moment, healing, marriage, whatever it is, this is the result. But from here to here is the battle. God, I'm not seeing it. God, are you doing it? God, will you do it? And you're feeling the pain, or you're feeling the business, or you're feeling whatever the struggle is, you're between here and here. But sometimes you don't really know when you get here. So you are, the battle is here. And because the battle is here, the product of winning the battle is called patience. Patience is the ability to wait through the grace of God and bring you here. Because every promise of God has an ending and is yes and amen. So the place where we win the battle is the place of patience. Let me read another scripture. Hallelujah. This is in same Hebrews. All our scriptures are in Hebrews today. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. It says, for you, I have need of what? Patience. Patience. Endurance. That after you have done the will of God, you might what? Receive the promise. After you've done the will of God, you receive the promise. The Lord speaks here, or you take a promise, or you receive a prophetic word when you're praying, or you're going through a situation, and you go to God and you're crying, and God says, I will do it, I will make it happen. But you're staring at the problem here. Somebody comes and encourages you the first day. The next day, you feel encouraged. The next day, it's like it's still there. What's going on? And you just keep on. It's a battle. I was praying for something here. I didn't see it. And the pressure was on me. And I fasted. I didn't see it. I still pray. I did not see it. The pressure was on me. I kept on. But I did not know every step I was taking in prayer, every step I was taking to fasting and seeking God, I didn't know that it was taking me through a journey and was bringing me to the results. But I didn't know when the results would come. Some have crossed some deadlines. So finally, I was at this point without knowing that it's going to suddenly manifest here. And the Lord said, just worship. You've done all you know to do. Just surrender to me. And I just surrendered worshiping. That was on a Sunday. On Wednesday, somebody shows up and says, here is it. And it manifested. So that experience taught me that I need patience after I have obeyed God so that I can receive the promise later. Because God already says yes and amen. But you all know, you've been there. It's not easy. It's not easy when you are going through tough times. It's not easy when you are hearing all kinds of, if doctors say this or that, or your finances, or your marriage, or your children. Just name any situation. When you are really going through it, it's not easy. But you've prayed. It's not easy, but you've fasted. It's not easy, you've worshipped. But God said, is through faith and patience. So the distance from here to there is where our struggle is. But if we can make it to that point, the result will come. So it says, after we have done the will of God, we have need of patience that we might receive the promise. To receive the promise. Now let's read one more scripture. And this is Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also have are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, there are people who have run this race. There are people who have lived out this faith, and we have their testimonies. They finished well. They made it. They received their miracles. They received this. We see the Bible is full of testimonies. It calls the clouds of witnesses example. We have people that have gone before us that we can read about. Wherefore, seeing we also have compassed about with this great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily besets us. And let us run with what? Patience. The race that is set before us. Then he used an example of Jesus. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God, the throne of God. What is he saying? Using Jesus as an example and talking about a race. Let's run this race with patience. Let me give you an example. Jesus is here. He came and God prepared him for 30 years. And the Lord told him, he said, you know what? You're here to die for the sin of the world. You're righteous, but you're going to put on sin. You're rich, but you're going to put on poverty. You're from heaven, but you're going to put on earthly burden. Everything that he put on, he says he learned obedience by the things he suffered. So finally, when he came to the last part of the race, is the toughest of the race. He was beaten. He was denied by his own people. He was betrayed by the religious world. He was rejected. He went through everything. That's why it says we don't have a high priest that does not know what you're going through. Amen. Amen. He was so beaten. You saw that cross. He was carrying it. And he got to this point almost as a finishing line. And in the garden, he says, God, take this away from me. In his humanity, it's like, is there no other way? Is there no other way? Finally, he says, I did not come here for my will. I came here to do your will. Let your will be done, not my will. And the moment he surrendered, that's when he literally surrendered. And finally was brought to the cross. And the Bible says he finished. Said, it's what? Finished. It's finished. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. So that we don't think that if he came here in the flesh and went through, that he's asking us to do something that he doesn't have experience of. He finished the toughest battle any human being could face in the flesh. And he says, it's finished. And then every time you come to this end point, there's always a promotion. It's always a restoration. There's always a harvest. There's a breakthrough. There's a benefit. But how do you get here? He says, looking unto Jesus. Amen? Amen? How? He gave us an example. So how do you survive from here to here to manifest patience as the fruit of the Spirit? Because by nature, we're not patient people. The flesh wants it now or yesterday. Microwave. That's where we are. Amen? If I don't have it now, I don't want it anymore. You know, so I'm angry, I'm mad, you don't love me because I can't have it now. So God doesn't work that way. Amen? Amen? It's by faith. So patience and faith work together. They are the fruit of the Spirit. So how did Jesus do it? What's the example that the Lord wants us to learn from the life of Jesus? It says Jesus started here. And as he was joining in to finish what God has given to him, he faced trials. He faced difficulty. At the worst moment of that trial, looks like it's the end of the road. His own disciples have run away. Everybody can lean on his God. He could not look anywhere. He was alone. And he was on the cross. All these things was happening. And then the devil came to mock him. Come down. I mean, all these things on the cross, all this, he was right there. And the Bible says he had me on his mind for the joy that was set before him. He had something he was looking at to overcome, to endure, to win. He was looking at a prize. He was looking at the future of human race. He was looking at you. He was looking at me. He was looking at the when people's sin will be forgiven, deliverance. He was looking at stripping Satan from all those power. He was looking at billions of people today that are in heaven. If he said, I quit, none of us will be here. So if you're fighting a race, if you're going, he says, Jesus had a promise. He had an expectation. He has something that he was holding on to that helped him to overcome, to endure what would have made him say, I quit. If we don't have something, a focus, something we're holding on to, a promise, an expectation, maybe the word of God doesn't change. That's, if we don't have something, it's hard to finish. We always compromise. We live a compromised level of Christianity. For example, God gave Joseph a dream. Say, Joseph, you're going to be this, you're going to be that, you're going to be that. But remember, for you to be all these things for God, you have to have the fruit of His Spirit. In other words, you can't serve God with unforgiveness. You can't serve God with malice. With people, you can't serve God your way in the flesh. So for you to pass that test to the end, God is looking for a fruit. Amen? So why does God let us go through trials? Because God is looking for fruit. And the trials are the things that produce the fruit. Because what the trials do, the trials expose our humanity, our flesh, our limitation, so that we can trust God. And when He exposes these things, if we trust ourselves, we fail. But if we keep trusting God, we succeed. So what happened to Joseph? The devil wanted to create the most unforgiving bitterness, wickedness. What did he do? He got a dream. Who will make you more bitter than your own brothers? Sell you. I want to kill you. You're going to hold that thing. You did this to me. When I have my opportunity, I will show you. You did this to me. I can't wait for you to pay for it. And we hide it here, and we hide it there. You go to somebody and say, you see what he did to me? You see what he did to me? You see what he did to me? You begin to infest people with your wounds. What did Joseph do? If you go through that Bible, you will not see one place Joseph was gossiping, backbiting, because he had no bitterness. It was a test. Who will not be angry? Who will not be bitter that your brother or your brothers did that to you? He didn't stop there. He passed the test. Now he's a slave. Somebody that was enjoying life with his family, had a coat of many colors, my dad's favorite. Now, I'm a slave in a foreign land. Why wouldn't you be bitter? That's human to be bitter. You're justified to be bitter, but not the kingdom of God. God is bigger than any situation. He takes what the devil means for evil and turn it for good for you and for the kingdom. So, as long as Joseph kept his focus on the promise, God showed me I'm going to be somebody. Not just somebody. I'm going to rule. I'm going to make it. God showed it to me. He will bring it to pass. So whatever is happening here, the devil is trying to distract me with pain. He's trying to distract me with all these things. So God, I keep my eyes on you. I keep my focus on you. Because you don't mean this for evil. You mean it for good. So he passed the test. He's getting close. He didn't know. He got here, he was promoted in a business, and he became the most trusted friend of his boss. Yep. The boss trusted him with everything except his wife. What happened? The devil set him up with the only thing the boss will not tolerate. Joseph was tested. Potiphar White, you all know what happened. This man feared God. He says, I will not betray my boss. I will not do it. So now here is a man with a pure heart, escaped temptation. What did the devil do? You took his coat, you took his jacket, and proved to the whole world there's no way Joseph did not do this. Joseph had no human body that can ever deny that. So by justice of the unjust world, because they don't see in secret, they sentenced him to death. Pharaoh's dungeon is a death sentence. Because one of the top commander's wife, you tried to rape him. So here is an innocent man with his name blacklisted for life, put in dungeon, who are you that you won't be bitter? You're justified. And actually, you can publish your bitterness. While he was in jail there, he can tell everybody, I didn't do it. You know, this person wronged me. This, that happened. You, that, that, that. You know why? You know he wasn't bitter. He was looking at a promise. His focus was not distracted. He was looking at the promise. He endured because he was looking. If I pass this test, I know what God will do. How do you know he wasn't bitter? Because in jail, where the devil took him to be more bitter, right in that place, he was more friendly. He was ministering to people. He was blessing people. They made him the head of the jailer. Anywhere he goes, he was being promoted, even in jail. Hallelujah. Amen. His second name is promotion. Amen. In jail, he was promoted. He wasn't bitter. He wasn't complaining. Now, he didn't know the more the devil is trying to destroy you, the closer you are to what God has for you. Amen. What the devil means for evil. Listen, God showed me this years ago. That's why what I'm sharing with you is also my personal story in trials. The devil meant to destroy Joseph, to make him bitter, to make him offended. But everything he did, because he put his eyes on the Lord, because he kept serving, kept praying, he kept worshiping, he was manifesting a fruit called patience. And as he was going and going, what happened? He was put in jail. Jail, that's it, Joseph, your dream is dead, your finish is over. Amen. But Joseph has seen a vision from the Lord. My brothers, I just want you to know, if you receive a promise from God, if you receive a word from God, nothing can stop it except you. Because God has spoken it, it will happen. So I'm using this as the Lord is showing me, Joseph type of Christ suffered. But God gave him a promise. But it was through faith in that promise and through patience in that dungeon. One day, time has come. God's time has come. God sent the highest person in office. From the top of the office, he was sent to the bottom of the jail and said, come up higher. Amen. If you pass your test, promotion is from God. Amen. Listen, Joseph was promoted. His gift anointing increased, interpretation increased. His position is new. And you all know the rest of the story. Eventually, he was a prime minister. Where is the blackmail? Where is all the things they did? Where is all the things the devil tried to do? Did you ever see one day that Joseph came up and said, Potiphar's wife, you caused all this for me. Now you pay for it. You never saw it. The brothers came to Joseph when they found out that this was their brother. They knew what they did, isn't it? They were afraid. Joseph is going to kill us. He's going to avenge us. They were terrified. Jesus said, no, relax. Relax. What the devil meant for evil, God sent me ahead to prepare you a place. You are going to live in Goshen. You are going to live where I live. You're going to be blessed. My brothers, that's what is called the fruit of the Spirit. It's not human love. It's not human fruit. How did he get that fruit to forgive his brother, bless his brother? How did he get that kind of kingdom fruit? From trials. From trials. I've read the scripture many, many times. I didn't understand it. And I want to read it for you again, maybe to make more sense. James chapter 1. It says, James 1, James is servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect, meaning mature and entire, lacking nothing. And then he explained a double-minded person. What is he saying? He says, our trials produce the fruit of the Spirit called patience. And he said, when you have patience, when you go through the next trial, when you're married, you won't be double-minded. You'll be questioning, is God real? Is God here? Will God do this? Will God not do that? David says, I killed the lion. I killed the bear. I know that the same God will see me through the Goliath. Trials build endurance, resilience, faith. You increase in faith. And you have patience for the next trial. You know, he did it last time. I just need to overcome. I need to be patient. He'll do it again. Yes. Patient is the fruit of the Spirit. Actually, I would have called it long-suffering. Because patience is attached to suffering. Amen? Amen. But it's not really suffering. It's a manifestation of the glory of God. Now, let me give you the other part. It says, we should run this race with patience. Race. I want to share something with you practically. There's a group of people here. They've been told they're going to win an Olympic medal here. Amen? When they get here. So what do? They're going to come one day at the Olympics place, and they're going to run from here to here. Amen? And then they win gold or silver or bronze. Their eyes is on the prize, the gold. They are world known. They have a status now. All these prizes there, the fame, the celebrity status, and all the money and all the doors that will open because they have a passion for race. But you have to run with a group of people from here all the way to here to win. Amen? Amen. How many of you know this? That if this you show up that day and you have not spent a whole year running, practicing, going through, running miles. You see some of these kids running around this city with their shirts open, running. They're running every day. If I run too much, I'll start breathing. You know, you run, they practice. They run. Amen? Every day. They keep running, practice. One of the most miserable experiences I ever had for lack of practice. Practice is test. If you don't test something, you might disgrace yourself. We're supposed to play a soccer match in Nigeria, my school and one school. And last minute, none of us practice. The other school was my former school. They practice, I know them, they are very good. Our school just put a team together. They just did one practice, and I wasn't even part of the practice. But I'm a back man. I like to play from the back. So some of you don't know what soccer is. It's like football, American football. But they play it with a leg. Americans play with a head. So when we were at the field, and they called us to start playing, before we even started praying, I ran from the place to here. I was breathing so hard. The guy that plays from their front, they are number 9. He dribbled every one of us he went through every one of us. I was the back man, and I stood like this. Before I could run, I was so tired, I just fell. He dribbled our goalkeeper and just put the ball there. This is a match. So all the insecure people that came to clap for us rioted and delivered us from the shame, and they used riot to close the game. So what I'm trying to say, if you don't practice, your strength will fail you. your confidence will fail you. If you don't go through trials, how will you know God is real? How will you know you're standing on the word of God? How will you know that faith works? How will you know that God can do miracles? Everyone that runs this race, like athletes, if you're going to win, you have to set your mind on a prize and you have to practice. You see those races, a lot of them fall by the wayside. They get tired. You have to give them glucose or something to drink. They just collapse. They had intention to win, but they did not finish the race. We have need of patience. Patience is not a human virtue. It's a spiritual virtue. But God has given it to humans. What are the areas that we need patience in? Patience in loving people. In dealing with people. Amen. I did not marry a perfect wife. My wife did not marry a perfect husband. It takes patience for two of us to come to maturity. We bear with each other, endurance. Why? Because I love her and she loves me. Children, let me give you an example about patience. My brothers and sisters, all of you that are moms here, you know the joy of being pregnant. Amen? You want that child immediately, but God says it will take 9 months. Amen? You know, as mothers, 9 months was not easy. Amen? 9 months wasn't easy at all. You were what? Patient. Why? Because you have no choice. You wait for 9 months. God said you will get from here. 9 months, that baby will come. No matter how much you want to see the baby, you want to love the baby, you want to hold the baby, you wait for 9 months. Let me ask you a question. Why are you waiting for 9 months? Because that baby is not ready to come out. There are things God is working behind the scene when you are waiting for a promise. You don't have to see it. But God says, even though I don't feel it, even though I don't see it, he's working. When you have a focus, that child needs some details in the ear, in the eye, in the brain, in the heart, and God is putting it together. Psalms 139, he's grafting every part. God is shaping every part. God is molding every part. He's doing everything. If you don't wait 9 months, there are things that have not been fully matured. God says 9 months biologically. That's the same way with trials. That's the same way God is walking behind the scene. But when we don't see it, we give up. That's why it says by faith. Faith is God, you're working. God, you're doing it. God, you're doing it. You promised me this. You promised. You just keep believing until it happens. Because it's walking behind the scene. The final example, one of the examples, again, before I came here, the Lord was reminding me, is planting. Farmer. When a farmer plants a seed, you don't wake up the next day and pluck fruit. Amen? But please, let's be honest with our trials. Let's be honest with the things we go through. We want that thing done now. It doesn't mean God can do instantaneous things and stuff. But there are certain things, when God gives us a promise, there are characteristics God is working in our lives. There are things God is shaping, doing on the inside that is more important to God than even the outside that will just come like that. So when you plant something on the ground, you water it. You water it. But you're waiting. And we wait patiently. And after a while, that thing grows the branches, grows the corn. You still don't pluck the corn until it's ripe. When it's ripe, you just take the fruit. The rest you trash. Amen? I want to be honest with you. When Jesus comes for you, he's coming to take that fruit. If there's no fruit in your life, there's nothing to take to heaven. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's the nature of the children of God. Christianity without fruit is like unbeliever. So when we go through trials, one of the greatest things God is working inside of us is to produce fruit. And one of those fruit is patience. When our children are born, what do we do? We are patient. The child will carry this thing and kick it here, carry this thing and kick it here. We say, that child must be a good footballer. You know, we find a positive way to look at all the things they are doing as children. They would tear the doorknob, we say he's going to be a scientist. You know, we are looking for ways to be patient because they are children. Amen? But if a church member, somebody does something to you, you want to crucify the person overnight. A new believer comes in. Probably they don't know how to dress. They've dressed a certain way in the world. We come, all our eyes are going corner here. Why is this person here? This is not heaven. We're not in heaven. Amen. This is where God produces people that will go to heaven. Yes. Perfect people don't need to come to church. We need patience with our children because we love them. We correct them. We work with them. They grow. And let me tell you, you cannot bypass patience. Amen? Every one of us here was once a little baby, isn't it? Yes. And in the physical, our parents were patient with us. They still gave us food. They still gave us water. And we grow until we mature. We go to high school, we go to college, and we mature. That's patience. Why is it patient? Because of love. So in everything we do as believers, at work, your boss is mean. They are gossiping about you. They are slandering you. Go to God. Say, God, you see this, you see this, you see this. Please help me. Pray for Mr. This, pray for that. And then be patient. Amen? Don't wake up the next day, go to this person, slander your boss here, slander your boss here, and the next day walk out from the place. You will not produce the fruit of the Spirit that God is trying to produce in that workplace. Today we get angry at everything and we quit. Amen? And we don't produce fruit. Amen? So, just like children, we are patient to see them grow. Just like marriage, we are patient to see love perfected. Just like everything, like if you work at Walmart or you work, I don't know where you work at Big Lots, you put in hard labor because you know your money is there. 2 weeks they will pay you, isn't it? All those work you're doing, if you're not going to be paid, you won't be patient. Amen? But you are guaranteed at the end of 2 weeks, at the end of 1 month, you're going to take a paycheck home. Jesus was looking at us and paid the price. We're looking at the future of our children and we're ready to put all our money into their school, into their life, because they are our children and their future. My brothers and sisters, we need to learn to be patient. That word is endure with people. Love, the fruit of 1 Corinthians 13 is endurance. Love. Love endures. Let us be patient with people that are struggling in church. Let's be patient with people that are struggling in our workplace. Let's be patient with our wives, our husbands. Let's be, you know, when you go to the doctor's office, you're called a patient. Amen? Doctor, isn't that so? What? You gotta wait. Isn't it? You have to wait. You're called a patient by name. Huh? Because you have to wait for the doctor. Amen. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. It says, through faith, believing what God has told you, and patience, you will see the breakthrough. Patient with people that are not born again. If I look at myself today, I've spent half of my life in America. Before I got born again, I was worldly. I was lost. I was blind. I was useless to the kingdom of God. I didn't know that God, in his sovereignty, knew exactly the time he set. With all my worldly life and all the things, God already set a time and says, when is this time you're going to be right in the kingdom? And this is what I prepared for you to do. You're going to be talking about me and you're going to serve me the rest of your life. I didn't know that. If you told me that when I was blind and lost, I would tell you, you lost your mind. The Bible says God is long patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all appointed to salvation will come to the knowledge of God. God is patient. We want to see people change overnight, but we don't want to see ourselves change overnight. We want everybody else to just change overnight and be perfect overnight, but we don't want to change overnight and be perfect. So do unto people as you like to be done to you. It's the love commandment. If you want people to be patient with you, show patience to them. Be patient. Don't be quick to be angry. Patience will help that. One of the key things God has taught me about patience is listening to people. My brothers and sisters, let's learn to listen to people more than we talk. Amen?
Amen.
See, you're patient with me because I'm the one talking. Amen?
Amen?
When you show patience to people and listen to them, you might find out more about them than you talking. And then you'll be less impatient with their mistakes and their fault because you know them. So today, I just want us to pray. If this is the way God works with us, that I'm standing here today speaking on behalf of God, looking at my past, we need to be patient with people. That your person, friend at work might look wild and rough, we want them to be saved now. So we have to push the gospel to their throat. No, just show them love. Show them patience and be praying. Amen?
Amen?
Patience. Patience at the four-way light. If you come first and somebody's running, don't fight for your right. Just be patient. Because sometimes the person will run, they are rushing somewhere. If you're not patient, there's always a wreck. It's an accident. Because sometimes we claim right that I'm right, but sometimes patient is more right than wrong. Because that accident will not happen both in the spirit and in the physical if we just waited. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Because the life of patience is always a winner. Don't pray for patience. You have it already. Just try as we bring it up. Amen? So this morning, I just want us to pray and ask God for grace. Grace to live a patient life. A patient life. Be patient. It will affect, it will deal with offenses, it will deal with bitterness, it will bring understanding of other people to you. It will help you be encouraging to others. It will help you expect things to be done God's time and not your time. Patience has a way of solving problems God's way and God's time. There were things I was believing God for. I did everything I could. It didn't happen. When I stopped and was patient, God did it. The vision is for an appointed time. Yes. Though it tarries, wait for it. Be patient. God will fulfill his promises no matter what you see today. God will have your back. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. What will you want to pray, you and the Lord, this morning? This is just practical. What are you going through? I say, okay, God, just give me grace to endure this situation. Because unforgiveness comes through lack of endurance. Frustration. What are you frustrated about you've committed to God? What are you believing God for? You think it's not going to happen because he's waited too long. Abraham was human. He was so frustrated he didn't have his son, but God did it. So what is it you are going to ask God today? Forgive me for the anxiety, the frustration. Now I know that even though I don't see it, you are working. Heal me from the pain of waiting, from the frustration of not seeing my expectation. Even when I was not praying and looking, God gave me a wife. For those who are frustrated waiting for their wife or husband, God gives you the best from patience. What are you believing, God? What is frustrating you? This morning, God is saying, be still. I am your God. I am your Father. I know where you are, and I'm working. Cast that care. Surrender that need. Release the frustration. Say, God, give me rest. Thank you. so that at least it helps us with what we're preparing for. Amen. Everybody here, you're invited. Every man Zion, you're invited. You'll get it from the announcement. Thank you so much. You're all invited. This Saturday, special celebration. It'll be at the First Baptist Church to celebrate our sister Josephine. You will hear her testimony of 70 years believing God. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.